Maybe I can just keep the water. Now we better not drink out of the same one. I've got a little bit of a cough. I hope you're enjoying the series that we're on right now. I've learned so much in preparation to share with you. And we began a couple weeks ago talking about what Jesus means when he says that he is the light of the world. So in week number one, we introduced you to John 8:12. Where Jesus makes this incredibly profound statement. Quite frankly, a statement that I've read over and over and over again and never fully recognized its true meaning until right now. And so it's with great joy that I'm sharing with you some of this information because I'm experiencing a change of heart, a change of attitude, a change of direction as I study this passage with you together, and I'm hoping that maybe God's doing the same thing in your heart and in your life regarding the way that he wants to use you as well. So this is what John 8:12 says. It says that Jesus said, "I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So week number one, we said, what exactly does that mean? What does it mean to have the light of life? And what we decided as kind of a punctuation mark for week number one is the fact that this light of Jesus dispels the darkness of the world and it leads to new life, right? So Jesus's meaning in John 8:12 also tells us that this light that he shines kind of on an external basis, revealing what's dark and what's light and the way that he would have us to go is really a path. It's a direction that he's leading us on through his light to know and experience the life, the new life that he would have us to experience. That life honors and glorifies his holy name when we walk in his light. So that's goal number one that we learned from John 8:12. Last week, for those of you that couldn't be with us because of the weather, if you get an opportunity, go back and check out the video, because this is what we also arrived at, that when the light of Jesus shines, it shines also not just externally, it shines internally in us as well. And it really reveals some of the dark places that may exist there. It exposes them for what they are, and then it does a work inside of us. And that work really comes from the love that God has from us. Sometimes we just don't want to change, or we feel challenged by the maturity and the spiritual growth that God is leading us to live and follow. And so sometimes we're kind of like, oh, you know, this isn't easy. Well, it isn't easy in and of ourselves, but it is easy when we follow the leading, the strength, the guidance, the light that God is shining in those areas when he's leading us to know this new life. So added to that, he fills us with this light. That light is really given to us by his love. And then we are in turn able to love others and God better, based upon his power. So this is what we arrived at last week. Walking in the light of Christ leads us to new love, not just new life. We're not only experiencing a new pathway to live this life that he's given us, we're actually loving God and loving others better because of the power of his light that rules and reigns within our hearts. So that leads us to this morning, where we're going to discover one of the methods, I guess, or one of the ways that the light also reveals itself to us so that, or himself to us, so that we will be able to follow. I have people who will tell me from time to time when this comes up in a conversation, no one here, people who I meet, you know, out doing life with people who may be church, may not be church, some who have studied the Word of God and know biblical background, some who don't. And a fairly common comment that I hear is that they do not believe that the Word of God is inspired by God. They believe that the Word of God was written by men and therefore fallible. And I want to point out what Scripture says in 2 Timothy 3:16, because I think it's hugely important. 2 Timothy 3:16, Paul says, all Scripture is God-breathed. And therefore, because it's God-breathed, it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. That's the goal that God has for his word in your life. He's provided his word so that you can be taught, so that we can be rebuked. I'm rebuked all the time by his word when I recognize his ways in comparison to my own. And I'm like, I don't have to live that way anymore. I don't have to think that way anymore. I don't have to love that way anymore. I can love, think, and live like he's leading me to live. That's the light that comes from the word of God. It's good for that teaching. It's good for the rebuking. It corrects me. And then I love the fact that it actually is training me in righteousness. And that's my prayer for you as well. And that's what I would say to anyone who says, you know, it's written by guys. It's not God's word. Well, that's not what God's word says. So, and I know you typically should not defend something with itself, but I would just argue, I accept the word of God as being divinely inspired by God. To being the guiding light for my life. I hope you'll see it the same way. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews 4 because we're going to talk more about what this word does in our lives, serving as a light. And as you're turning there, let me make a comment on something that I've become very aware of that I feel like as brothers and sisters in Christ, I need to share with you. And I think most of you are aware of this because many of you are going through this. But this time, this season, tends to be a very, very difficult season for a lot of people. The hustle and bustle adds to an already kind of chaotic life that we have and busy schedule that we have. You know, many of us were struggling to get everything done before Christmas came. And so for the last month and a half, maybe some of us even 2 months now, we've been trying to get everything done so that Christmas can be everything that we've made it to be in our lives. And it's added to some of the chaos already. And, you know, I don't need a show of hands. Many of you would say it really has kind of been that way for me. And the second thing that I've noticed, and I'm getting a lot of emails and Facebook messages about that I feel it's okay to share with you, is how many people right now are really struggling because of the losses of friends and loved ones that they've gone through this year. This church has really been hit hard. Many of you have someone that you have loved that have gone on to be with the Lord and passed. And so this is a particularly difficult season for you. And the reason that I'm addressing this is because we're going to see in a moment in Hebrews how one of the goals that the Lord has for you is for you to find rest in him. And even in the midst of hardship and trial and busyness, in the chaotic season that we're in right now, that quite frankly, we ourselves have made it to be. We've kind of succumbed to the pressures of this world to make it chaotic, some of us at least. You can find rest. In fact, I love what Jesus says in Matthew 11, verses 29 and 30. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So basically, what the light of the world is saying in that particular passage is casting our cares and burdens on Jesus while still growing and learning to follow him, right, is the very best way to live a life of peace and purpose. And I believe this. I think that is a goal that God has for all of us here today, that he would have us learn to grow spiritually and to follow him each and every day, even better than maybe we did in the day before. And that sounds like it's adding to the chaos that we're already experiencing. But quite frankly, it's not. It's actually leading us in a direction of peace and purpose, which is fulfilling in the life that we have right now. If you're not experiencing peace in this Christmas holiday season, then I think God may have something for you in today's message through his word that I'll be sharing with you in Hebrews 4. Verses 11 through 13, because he speaks of this here. He speaks about finding rest the way that Jesus described. You won't have to go through this alone. You can allow the yoke of Christ as your Savior and Lord carry those burdens and those hardships as you move in the direction, not that you would go or not that the world would lead you in, but in the way that he would lead you in and the way that he would have you to follow. So let's read Hebrews 4 verses 11 through 13 together. I'll read it aloud while you follow along. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their examples of disobedience. Now hold that phrase in thought, because I'm going to explain that in a moment, what I believe the author is speaking of there. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before his eyes, before the eyes of him whom we must give account. Now, it's interesting to note that the way the author of Hebrews begins this passage is that he suggests that rest comes from the Word of God, that we actually can experience rest as we read, hear, study, and apply the Word of God to our lives. And that's why verse 11 says, make every effort to enter God's rest. Because when we enter that rest, we will find peace, but along with peace, we'll find the purpose that God has for the moments that we find ourselves in. There's a very purposeful plan that God has in every minute that he's given you to live on this planet, right? There's a plan and a purpose, and that can be met with his peace when we're in the will of God, doing the things that he would have us to do. So what does it mean to trust in the Word of God? What does it mean to believe in the Word of God? What does it mean to follow the Word of God? Well, it means do what it says. To allow the Word of God to penetrate our hearts and our minds and our very lives in such a way that we act upon what we read. Right? That was a problem in the early days of God's people. In fact, when he refers back to their example in verse 11, what I believe he's talking about and what scripture really identifies that he's talking about are the children of God who are not walking in obedience when they are exiled out of or leaving Egypt, moving into the promised land. Right? In that particular time, God's people, they knew where they were headed. They were headed to the promised land. Now think about this for a second with me. They were told of the promise. They knew of the prophecy, and they knew of the power of God because they were finally released from Pharaoh in Egypt in miraculous, amazing ways. And yet, as they're heading for the promised land, they're complaining, they're bickering, they're worrying, and they're dissatisfied with the process. They're really struggling with where they're going to the point that they're really ready to turn back and go back to the lives that they used to be living when they were slaves in Egypt. Can you imagine that? I think you can. Because some of us are living in that manner today. We're kind of like, you know, I don't care for where I'm headed. I don't care for the life that I have right now. I don't care for the opportunities that God has granted me because it's so heavy. It's so weighty. It's so hard. I don't think I can bear another moment. Listen to me this morning. If that describes you, you are not sharing your yoke with Jesus. Jesus is not the buoyant, carrying, loving, powerful entity in your life that he desires to be. You're struggling because you're trying to do it on your own rather than casting your care upon the Lord, allowing him to guide and lead and carry you through the challenges that you're facing right now. See, the problem with these early children of God in the Bible, in all of their arguing and all their complaining and all of their wishing that they could go back to where they had been, even though it was a terrible place to be, is unbelief. They did not trust God's ways over their own ways. In fact, the author of Hebrews says that very clearly in Hebrews 3:19, where he says, "So we see that they were not able to enter." Why? Because of their unbelief. Right? So picture this. They're standing before the promised land And God's leaders of that day, Moses, he says, you guys go in there and check this out and come back and give us a good report, right? And they come out and some of them go, let's go take this. You ought to see the fruit. It's huge in there. Let's go. Listen, we will bask in wonderful blessing. That land, it's flowing with milk and honey. Let's go take it. While others go, did you see the giants? Did you not see the huge armies that were there? We're nothing in comparison to them. We're not going in there. They will kill us in a moment. Two perspectives were offered when those spies went into the promised land. And the primary or the resounding response to that visit was, we can't do it. We just simply can't do it. This is too big for us. Well, it was. It was too big for them, but it wasn't too big for God. And they turned their backs on the promise that God had for them, saying, this will be your land, regardless of what you see and regardless of what you think you'll face when you get over there. And do you know the consequence that came with that? They never experienced it. Those that said, no way, never had a way in, never, God never made a way for them ever to experience that. It was the next generation of people, except for those two spies who said, yeah, we can do it. They got to experience it. They got to walk in. Do you sense this morning that maybe God's saying something about that to you? You know, the hardship, the challenges, the heaviness, the burdens that you're carrying today, are you carrying those burdens because you haven't handed them to God? Are you carrying those burdens because you haven't believed and trusted in God? Have you not studied God's word and read about his promises? Do you not believe that he always keeps them 100% of the time when he speaks them to those who believe upon him and in his word? See, that's for you today if you're struggling, right? This is what they experienced. Hebrews 4:12, earlier in our passage, says this, for we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. That is a key verse, right? Those who have faith exhibit their faith through action. Obedience, belief, trust, right? I will walk in the way that you're leading me. I will go in the direction that you're pointing to me. It may not be easy, but if you're with me, who can be against me? All things are possible through Christ who gives us strength, right? That's the attitude that I think we can take today. And so they struggle and they're having a tough time. And that's why the author of Hebrews is telling you and I today, make every effort. Make every effort. What? To believe? I don't think so. Make every effort to trust? I hope we're at that point of trust now. Make every effort to hear. You're here. You're hearing the word of God. What's missing? Action. Obedience. Yes, I will live as a conqueror. I will live in victory. I will believe the word of God is true and satisfying and authentically given to me through the power of Christ who now rules and reigns within my heart. I will be this person of great faith. Because I think that's what God is saying to me, and I hope he's saying that to you as well. Make every effort to believe in it, to trust the good news, to embrace it, to hold it, to be satisfied by it, so that you won't worry, you won't groan, you won't complain, you won't miss God's goodness through his good news, right, and turn away from him. Don't miss those good things that are right before you that God says, hey, I've promised you this. Just keep walking ahead. This explains the connection between verse 11 in Hebrews 4 and verse 12. Because when he says this, when he says, make every effort to hear, believe, and trust in God's message. Well, why should we do that? Here's why. Because verse 12 tells us, for the word of God is alive and active. Right? It is powerful. The word of God penetrates deeply within the minds, the hearts, the soul and the spirit of man. And it does amazing work when you hear it, right? When you hear the word of God, you recognize that God has made a powerful promise to those who believe in him, who have faith that what he says is actually true. Now, I think I'm speaking to two different groups of people today, and there may be more, but the two basic groups of people that I boiled this down to, and I said this in the chapel service, that I could actually identify certain people who thought one way and certain people who thought another way. I think the same is true in here today. So you tell me if this isn't true. Some of you are very analytical. And because you're analytical, you want to understand the pieces of the parcel before you go for the goal. Right. So you kind of want to go, okay, what's involved before I shoot for that mark? Right. I want to know step one, step two, step three, so that I understand where we're heading before I ever say I'm going to go there. Right. Some of you fall in that category. Others of you, the contrast to that is some of you are the big picture people. Right. You're like, just tell me where we're going. Give me a picture of where, what does the end result look like? Because if I like the end result, then I'll handle the pieces as we go. Right. I'll follow along as we go. Is that fairly true? Most of you probably fall in those two categories and you know which one you fall in. Here's what I want to do this morning. I so believe that the Word of God can impact your lives in an eternal way, in an everlasting way today. If you can grasp this particular passage and apply it to your life in such a profound way that you will never be the same again. I'm thoroughly convinced of that. It's happened to me. I think it can happen to you as well. So this is a powerful moment of choice for us today because it is alive. The Word of God is alive and active and it slices and it dices and it exposes things in our hearts and lives. And through my study time this week, through the opportunity that I've been given to share with you today, I'm praying right now that God's going to do that in your heart as well. So some of you, you pour the puzzle out and you go, I got to kind of see all the pieces before I decide whether or not I'm going to do this puzzle. Is it small? Is it big? How many pieces is it? I want to know that. You're analytical. Some of you look at the box and the picture on the box and you go, I'm going to do that puzzle, right? So let me provide an opportunity for both of you to grow in this passage this morning. Number one, know the goal. It may not be your goal, but it's God's goal for you. The goal is to enter God's rest. Enter God's rest. He does not want you to be worried. He does not want you to be upset. He doesn't want you to be about ready to fall. He wants to carry you in this journey that he has for you. You do not have to worry. You can enter God's rest. So the real question is, well, yeah. I mean, if you don't want that, then it would surprise me. It's also very strange, but some of you may say, rest isn't that important to me. I think most of us would say, if I had just a little bit of peace and a little bit of rest, this life would be a whole lot easier. Well, how do we do that? How do we enter God's rest? That's step number two, hear and believe God's message. Every Sunday morning, every Wednesday night, every Bible study that we do here, we offer you God's word. God's word is a light that will shine on the path that God's leading you to follow. And it always amazes me when so many different people, like we have this morning, are moving in so many different directions, and God uses the exact same passage for each one of us to show us the way that he would have us to go. It always amazes me. That's how living and active and powerful God's word is. Some of you will get one thing from the passage that we read today. Others will get something else. And all of it is of God when we apply it to our lives, right? So that's the amazing thing. Don't just hear it this morning. Believe that God is speaking to you. What's the third step then after we hear and believe? You have to trust God fully. Right? Lean in on him. Say, listen, it actually doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I don't see the end result yet, but I trust that you do. I trust that you know the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning. It's just one big circle for you. So I'm going to trust you fully to guide and direct my life in a way that honors and glorifies you best because that's our ultimate goal, right? Trust him fully. Well, what will happen if you do that, right? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Well, what's the result? The result is you'll become a people who live with great faith. You will be a person who others will see the great faith that God has placed inside of you. And you will be an example of that great faith. And God will have an opportunity to use you, not just to impact your relationship with him, but to impact the relationship that he desires to have with other people, right? People who have great faith become examples of what great faith looks like in a very human sense. So this is a front burner issue throughout the book of Hebrews. I started doing a collection of verses that identified how important this is, and I don't have time enough to share all those passages with you, but let me just give you a taste of this. You ready? Here we go. Hebrews 2:1. We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard. This is a message for you today. To what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. Hebrews 3:1. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, hopefully that's all of us today, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. Fix your thoughts upon Jesus, right? Hebrews 3:12. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Don't drift. Don't not believe, right? Hebrews 3:15, as has just been said today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Right? God's speaking to every one of us today, just as he spoke to the children of Israel who did not listen, did not obey, and suffered great consequences because of that. I choose to believe that no one here wants any more chaos in their life than they already have. Why would anyone want to be even more frustrated than they already are, right? That none of us are moving in that direction, I hope. All of us want to find relief. We want to find peace. We want to find rest. And that rest can be found when we place our confidence, our trust, our belief, and then in the Lord, and then we follow in action as we seek his will for our individual lives. You see, this word of God, look again at Hebrews 4:12. It's alive. It's active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Listen, the word of God is so sharp, there's nothing within you that it can't cut into. And when it cuts into it, it exposes what's underneath it. And when it exposes what's underneath it, then we ourselves discover areas in our lives that we never thought of as darkness. We never pictured that that was the stumbling block. That was the challenge. That was what was keeping us from following the Lord, because that dark place was never exposed by his light in the way that he would have us to know, recognize, and deal with immediately. When the Bible uses the word judges in Hebrews 4:12, it's not talking about condemning. That comes later. There'll be a time that you'll be judged, condemned for your sin. Potentially, if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ. But that's not what he's talking about here. What he's talking about when he uses the word judges is to assess. He's assessing what this word of God, it exposes, it cuts into, it says, listen, look what you got. Some of this is good. Some of this is bad. Let God make what's bad be good through the exposing that the word of God will do in your heart and in your life, right? Now, some of this, quite frankly, may be overwhelming, because if you're hearing me well today, and if I'm communicating what I believe God is saying to each one of us today, then it sounds like I'm adding something to an already busy schedule, doesn't it? Pastor Rick, it sounds like you're telling me I need to spend more time in God's word. I need to study it. I need to hide it in my heart. I have no extra time to do that. You can't afford not to do that if you want to fulfill the plan and the purpose that God has for your life, because something is going to take your attention. Something's going to take your time. Something's going to absorb your talent, and your treasure. And the Word of God will direct you in what that something should be, right? The danger in these chapters is not just having bad thoughts. Ladies and gentlemen, the danger in these chapters is having an unbelieving heart. You've got to trust God fully. Remember what it said in Hebrews 3:19. They were not able to enter because of their unbelief. You can't enter rest until you believe that God's granting us that. But I think there's even another reason why we struggle. Here's what I think. I think unbelief and unrest is Satan's unpleasant goal for you. I really do. I think the deceit that Satan introduces through the alternative that goes against God's will and God's ways is the way that he draws us away from the marvelous rest that we find when we're in obedience to the Word of God. And when we follow his deceit, I think that's the underlying issue in every sin that we ever commit. We become deceived by the enemy. We become deceived by our flesh based upon our wants and our will. And we become deceived by the world that says it's okay, despite what God's word says. You can do this. You can live for this, right? Believe it or not, belief is something that you and I have to deal with every single day. It's something that we need to work on every single day. That's why we need to be in God's word every single day. God, speak to me. God, guide me. God, I want to know the light that you're shining on the path that you would have me to take. So would you reveal that to me today? As I read this scripture, will you help me learn to apply this to my life for your honor and for your glory, but also so I can rest? Because God, I'm worn out. Things aren't working the way that I thought they would or should. What have I missed? Why am I struggling? It's Christmas. Everyone seems so happy and shiny. Carolers are singing and lights are blinking. And God, I'm struggling. I'm missing this hope. And I think that's so true for so many because they've missed the truth of what God's word says that we will experience when we take the yoke of Christ upon us and say, I can't carry this, but you can. I don't have all the answers, but you do. And we walk each day by faith as the light of the Word of God shines upon the path that he would have us to take so that we can experience his rest and his joy and his hope every single day. I'm at a point in my life right now where I don't know what I would do without the Word of God. I read stories about places where people are taken because of their faith in Christ. And one of the first things that they take away from them is the Word of God. And I'm just feeling right now this passion to learn it and hide it in my heart because I would feel impotent without having the Word of God as part of my daily routine in studying it and asking God to guide me and to lead me. My life would be lived in total unrest. So it's hard for me to imagine that. And I can't say for certain that that day will ever come, but the world is not only rejecting the Jesus that we believe in, they're also rejecting the Word of God that he's given us to follow. So I'm feeling even a greater fervor in my life to study it, to know it, to live it, to act upon it, so that I can be an example of great faith for other people through the power of Christ that lives within me. I like what Hebrews 3 verses 12 and 13 says about that. It says, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Let me give you two words of advice when you're struggling with something. The first word of advice, we've already spoken over and over again, but I'm going to say it for the benefit of those who haven't captured it fully yet. If you're struggling with a decision and you've got to make a really tough decision, you're not sure that you want to do something the way maybe that you think God wants you to do it, go to the Word of God and let God speak to you through His Word. And then secondly, when you do that, seek out people who have a pretty good track record of following God's Word and God's will in their life. Find some people that maybe you're surrounded by right now that you can go to and say, I think God's Word is saying this to me. Does that resonate to you? Because I see you following God. I see you desiring the things of God in your life and kind of putting aside the ways of the world. And so find those people. Because when you read Hebrews 3, 12, and 13, really we're put side by side to be encouragers. Right, to give one another an opportunity to be exposed to greater faith through the power of Christ that rules and reigns within our lives. And so that's the advice that I would have. And the reason that we do that is we want to avoid being hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Every once in a while, our eyes become closed and darkened, and we can't see, we can't find the light, we can't hear the light, we can't understand what God's saying, but others can, and God's Word can expose it. So those are the two places that I would suggest that we go. And that leads us right back finally to verse 12. The Word of God is living and active. It penetrates to the bottom of our lives. It rips the unpleasant mask of sin off and exposes it for what it really is. And the only reason a person ever really wants to sin is because at some point in their journey, they become deceived. Just keep that in mind. They start believing the lies of sin instead of the promises of God. Sin will have a way of whispering through the desires of the flesh and the rationalizations of the mind when it tells you that the only hope that you have in your future happiness is to give you the desires that man would lead you to go for, that you have a sense of wanting, rather than to seek God for the ways that are best, right? It whispers in your ear things like, you will not have a chance in the future if you don't cheat on this next test. Or if you don't cheat on your taxes, right? It'll whisper in your ear, you won't be noticed or liked if you don't dress provocatively. It'll whisper in your ears, you'll lose that one person who seems to care for you if you don't compromise some of your standards. It suggests you won't have a job or security if you stand for honesty and integrity at your workplace. It says you're wasting your time if you stay with your spouse. It also whispers, only a fool would move on without getting some kind of revenge. Don't be weak. Get even. Those are the things that sin will whisper into our ears. And God clearly identifies that those are lies and they're not truth, right? Only hope in Jesus offers an opportunity for God's Word to speak truth into our lives, because the Holy Spirit leads us to understand it and see it for real, what it really is. It sheds lights on my dark thoughts and misperceptions, right? The Word of God is our only hope for light and for help. The good news of God's promises and the warnings of His judgment are there. Easy to read, easy to understand through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Listen, cheating will not create a wonderful future for any one of us, right? Neither will dressing provocatively or throwing away your purity or keeping quiet about dishonesty at work or divorce or revenge. And what rescues you from the deception is the truth and the power and the light of the Word of God. The Word of God's promises throws open this great window of opportunity for you to see God for who He truly is and the direction that He's leading you to follow Him in, right? So I want to invite the praise team to join me on stage now. We're going to wrap things up this morning. And as they get ready to lead us in that last song, I'm going to end this message with a point of crisis for you. And here's why I say that. You are at a point of crisis of belief. You can choose to believe what God's Word tells you and walk out of here a changed person, or you can leave the way that you came in if you've been struggling during this holiday season with what you're facing. Because Jesus says, I've come that you may enter my rest, that you may know my peace, that you may experience my strength, that my hope is enough to not only get you through, but to allow you to experience joy and victory and live as a conqueror in this life and not as one that is struggling. And God's watching. I mean, we read this in Hebrews 4:13. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. So God is watching this morning. He is gazing upon our life, and he's asking, what will you do next? So here's my suggestion. Turn from the deceptive pulling of sin and trust in the all-satisfying promises of God. Trust. Hear. Believe. Trust and obey. And move into God's rest. Let me pray for you. Father, I'm just asking right now in Jesus' name that you will do exactly that in our hearts and in our lives. And God, in all honesty, we may want those things selfishly for ourselves. But ultimately, God, I believe this is what offers you the great honor and the great glory that comes when great faith is seen within us. Only you can do that. So I'm asking right now, God, as we close our services together this morning, that you will allow your spirit to move in such a profound way that we will leave here changed with greater hope, with greater joy, with greater peace, because we found rest in you. And may our lives speak of the faith that you've instilled in us so that others may know that faith and follow you as well. And we ask and pray that now in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll stand with me now, we'll do one more song together. This will give you an opportunity to respond to the Lord's leading. If you've never placed your faith and trust in Jesus, it would be our honor to pray with you today. So I'll be down here. I'll have deacons on my left and on my right. You come to any one of us and say, I want to pray with you. I want to place my faith and trust in Jesus today. And boy, what a joy that would be for us and hopefully for you as well. If you've not been baptized, listen, we would love to baptize you. Is there a better time to be baptized than on Christmas Eve? So if you'd like to be baptized next Sunday, let us know. We'd be thrilled to do that. And it will be a date that you will always remember. Why get baptized? Because you want to publicly proclaim Christ as your Savior and Lord. The Bible says it's an act of obedience. So if you would like to be baptized, you come see me and we'll schedule that. Last but not least, allow the Spirit of God speaking to you right now to allow you to walk in obedience to where he would have you to go when you leave here today. Be open to the truth of God's word, so that he can impact you in such a way that you will move in the direction that he leads you in from this point forward. Feel free to bow here at the altar. You be obedient to the Lord's leading while we sing this last song.